Before we come to the Lord's table, we will confess the faith together. First, we will do so with the help of our catechism, and we have come now to Baptist Catechism 13. I will ask the question, and then the congregation will answer. How did God create man? Answer, God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. Our catechism provides us with an overview of what the scriptures teach about God. We have learned about what God is. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal. And unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is one. We have learned about who God is. In the one true and living God, there are three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we are considering God's works. Our catechism begins in the correct place with God's decree. In eternity, God decreed all that comes to pass. And we know that he accomplishes his decree in the work of creation and his works of providence. We will eventually talk about providence, but for now we are talking about God's work of creation, as I have been very rapidly reviewing where we've been in our catechism. Brothers and sisters, do you understand how profound these truths are? Can you see it? When we're talking about God's works, and when we begin with God's decree, and when we say that the works of creation and providence are the outworking of his decree, that has a massive impact upon how we see the world and how we see God's relationship to the world. Is God distant from his creation? No. He is near to his creation. Are things out of control in God's world? No. God is bringing about his eternal purposes. This is massively important. This is deep and profound. This is essential truth to know. These are basic truths, but we must not forget how profound they are. We have learned that in general, the work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days and all very good. And now, here with Baptist Catechism 13, we turn our attention to the pinnacle of God's creation, which is mankind. The question before us is, how did God create man? That is a very important question. In fact, two of the most important questions we can ask are, what is God and what is man? If we are to understand what man is, we must first submit ourselves to God and to his revelation, and in this way come to understand how God created man in the beginning. Do you want to know what man is, what his condition is? Well, we do not start with man to know. Anthropology is that field of science that studies man. There is a secular kind of anthropology that asks the question, what is man, but with no regard for God. That is going to lead into bad places. But if you want to know who man is truly, what we are, what our condition is, we must first acknowledge God. We must submit ourselves to God and to his word, which is his revelation to us. How did God create man? Well, we would not know unless God revealed this to us. Hear the answer again. It is good. God created man, male and female, after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. First, we say God created man, male and female. Sometimes we use the word man to refer to a human who is male, but at other times we use the word man to refer to mankind or to humans in general. That is how the word man is being used here. God created man, male and female. Stated differently, within the unity of humanity, there is found the diversity of gender. There are two genders or sexes, male and female. This is by God's design, and it is good. Male humans and female humans are different in some very important ways. They are different physiologically and biologically. This is clear to all who have eyes to see. But as it pertains to their nature, they are the same. Men and women are human. They have human bodies. They have human souls. They both have rational minds, free wills, and affections. Though each and every human male and female differ slightly from all the others as it pertains to physical appearance and personality, all belong to the same species. They are human. Together, Adam and Eve and all of their male and female descendants are mankind. Both the male and female are essential. Have you ever thought about this? Without the male or female, there would be no humanity. This is one reason why God said it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. That is Genesis 2:18. And we know that the woman was taken from the man's side. This indicates three things. One, she is made of the same substance. Two, she was made to correspond to him. Three, she is somewhat different than him. All beautiful truths to consider. This is beautiful. But if you probably know that fallen humanity has warred against this beauty from the time of man's fall into sin. Men have suppressed and abused women. Women have hated and rebelled against men. Men have attached themselves to men and women to women. And now in our day and age, the very idea that there are two genders determined by God and given to individuals at the moment of conception is under assault. And I say, Lord, have mercy upon us. This is a war against God and His design. Those in Christ must confess that in the beginning, God created man, male and female. And we are to see the beauty in the unity and the diversity. Men should strive to be godly men, and women should strive to be godly women. We are to do this in humility, showing honor to one another as we appreciate the differences between us. Again, the truth is most fundamental. In the beginning, God created man, male and female. Secondly, we confess God created man, male and female, after his own image. Note this, both men and women are made in the image of God. This is one thing they share in common. They share humanity in common, and all human beings are image bearers. They have been made in the image of God. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? It means many things. One, humans were made in such a way that they can relate to God. We have the capacity to know Him, worship Him, and serve Him. The other creatures cannot do this in the way that humans can. Humans have this capacity to know, worship, and serve God. Just the other day, my daughter, McKenna, I think I brought her up in a sermon not too long ago, was watching a little boy. She babysits him a few days a week, and he's just learning to talk. And I thought, isn't this incredible how language works? Human beings have this ability to speak. They have rational minds, and they're able to communicate. Yes, animals communicate to one another somewhat, but not on the same level as humans, not even close. We can communicate. We can use words to speak to one another, and we can use words to speak to God, and we can receive His word, His revelation to us. It's phenomenal to consider. That is one thing that it means to be made in the image of God. We are made to correspond to Him. We can know Him, worship Him, and serve Him. Two, humans were made in such a way that they can imitate God. God is holy, and humans can be holy. God is love, and humans can love. God is good, and humans can do good, etc. We are volitional creatures, meaning we have a will. God has a will, and we have wills. We are moral creatures. God is pure, a most pure spirit. He is holy, and we make moral choices. Three, humans were made in such a way that they can represent God on earth by doing His will. Being made in God's image has little, if anything, to do with our physical makeup. It has everything to do with our spiritual capacities. Thirdly, we confess that God created man, male and female, after His own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. These three descriptive words are very important. What was man's condition when God first made him? Did God make Adam and Eve ignorant so that they did not know God? No. He made them with knowledge. They had the capacity to know their Creator from the beginning, and they did know Him. They walked with Him. He revealed Himself to them in the garden. Man, the man and the woman at first were made with knowledge. did God make Adam and Eve unrighteous so that they were at enmity with him from the beginning and in need of saving grace? No. They had the capacity to do what was right and to do what was wrong, but they were right before God in the beginning and did not need God's saving grace. They were made in God's image, in knowledge, and in righteousness. And did God make Adam and Eve impure or corrupted in nature? No, he made them holy and pure. Again, they were made with free will so that they could choose the right path or the wrong path, and we know where this went. But they were not made impure. They were not made corrupted. They were holy when they came from the hand of God. The righteousness and holiness of man in his original state are communicated in the Genesis narrative with the words, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Everything was very good as it came from the hand of God in the beginning. Lastly, we confess that God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. That little phrase, "with dominion over the creatures," is more important than you might realize. It points to the purpose for which God created man. Man, that is to say, the man and the woman together, were in the beginning given dominion over all the creatures. That is what Genesis 1:26 says. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" I want you to notice the very close connection between God making man in his image and God making man to have dominion on earth. In brief, God made man in his image so that man would exercise dominion on earth as his representative. Dominion is kingdom language, isn't it? To have dominion is to rule. And no, to exercise dominion does not imply harshness. You think it does now because of sin. Dominion does not imply harshness. Some rule harshly, but it is possible to rule in a benevolent way too. And this is what Adam and Eve were created to do. They were to rule on earth as God's vassal kings or vice regents. They were to exercise dominion over God's garden temple. They were to keep it and expand its borders as they filled the earth through procreation. In short, man was to function as God's prophet, priest, and king on earth, seeking to expand and establish God's eternal kingdom. You do know where the story goes. God created man, male and female, after his own image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness, with dominion over the creatures, but man fell into sin. He rebelled against God Almighty. The image of God was not lost, but it was badly marred by sin. Now, by nature, man does not know God. Man is not righteous or holy. The image remains, but man's state of being has changed. He is no longer perfect, but he is fallen and sinful. The good news is that God is gracious and kind. He has provided a redeemer, Jesus of Nazareth. He lived for sinners, died for sinners, and rose again for sinners. Salvation is available through faith in him, and please hear me. Not only is the forgiveness of sins available through faith in Christ, along with the hope of life everlasting, in Christ, the image of God that was marred and corrupted by sin is renewed. Ephesians 4 speaks to this. There, Paul reflects on who we are in Christ Jesus and urges us to live holy in him. Listen to Ephesians 4:20 through 25. And see that in Christ, the image of God is renewed in us. I quote now Paul. "But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Do you hear the language? In Christ, our minds are renewed so that we might know God truly. In Christ, we are made righteous so that we might stand before God right. In Christ, we are made holy so that we might worship and serve God in purity. The knowledge, righteousness, and holiness of man were lost when Adam fell into sin. In Christ, the second and perfect Adam, they are restored. We must trust in Christ to be forgiven and to have life everlasting. And in Christ, the image of God is renewed. Thanks be to God for the new life He has given to us. May God sanctify us further so that we become more and more like Christ, the true and better Adam, as we walk with Him and abide in Him.